Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
But see, the scripture says that God forgave us of all sin, past, present, and even sin that you haven't committed yet. And so back up in just a couple of verses here in verse 17. It's quoting from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33 and 34. And the end part of this in verse 17, it says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." This was a prophecy about a New Testament covenant that was going to come into effect. He says, "I'm going to void the first covenant, the Old Testament law, and I'm going to establish a new covenant." And here is one of the major planks or contracts in this new covenant, and that is that their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And again, if you take it in context, it's not only the sins up until you got born again, but all sin. The Lord just dealt with all sin, past, present, and even future tense sin. Hebrews 10:10 says that you were sanctified through the one offering of Jesus once for all. Verse 14 says, if you were sanctified, you were also perfected forever. Not until the next time you sin and lose it, and then you have to get it back under the blood. You are perfected forever. And because of this, this new covenant says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And verse 18 says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. This is radical. Did you know that basically the body of Christ does not understand this? They think, well, no, I believe that I'm saved and I was forgiven of my sins in the past, but I've sinned and I've got to go to the Lord and get that sin under the blood. Or the legalist will believe I've lost my salvation and I'm living in a backslidden state, and so I've got to go confess it and get born again, which the Bible never talks about being born again. You're just born again, period. Or a lesser interpretation is, well, I won't lose my salvation, but I can't. God won't answer my prayer. God won't fellowship with me. I won't have joy. I won't have peace until I get this sin forgiven and under the blood. No, these verses, and I'm going to go into more detail and establish this, show that your sins were all forgiven, past, present, and future. And since they've all been paid for, there's nothing left to pay. Sin, if you've been born again, that's a big if. But if you have been born again, if you have made Jesus your Lord, you become a new creature, sin is no longer an issue between you and God. That's the context. And since Jesus paid for all of your sin, there is nothing left to pay. And what's the result of that? Verse 19. It says, having therefore, because all of these things I just said are true, it gives you boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Did you know that the word boldness here, of course, the word boldness by itself, without even going into any further explanation, is something that very few Christians have. Most Christians are not bold in their relationship with God. They approach the Lord with fear, not a holy reverence, but rather a fear of punishment and rejection. They fear that they aren't worthy and that they haven't done enough. They fear that they are going to fall short and that God won't bless them. The average Christian does not approach the Lord with boldness. But the scripture says, Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee when there's no man without, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The way that most people interpret that is when I'm living right, when I've not got any sin in my life, when I'm doing everything right, then I can be bold. That's not what that's talking about, because you can't ever get to a place to where there's no failure or sin in your life. All of us are constantly falling short. And the moment you start embracing this, that I've got to do everything right and then I'm going to have boldness and confidence that God moves in my life, you'll never have boldness or confidence as long as it's based on your goodness. The moment you start trying to earn boldness by your actions, your own conscience is going to condemn you. And this is another thing that I'm going to make a major point of this week. It was down there in the 21st verse. I think we're our 23rd verse where you have to have your heart cleansed from an evil conscience. Our conscience is the part that's defiled, and the Scripture says over in Romans chapter 2 that your conscience either bears witness and gives confidence or it condemns you. The conscience is the part of you that keeps us from having boldness. And you know why we have a defiled conscience? Because of the law. The law gives us knowledge of sin and takes away confidence. That's the purpose of the law, is to make you condemned. Look down here in the 35th verse of this same chapter. The same word that was translated boldness in verse 19. In verse 35 it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." The same word that was translated boldness in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19 was translated confidence in verse 35. So I believe that you could say that boldness is also having confidence. And you know what? There's not a lot of people that have a strong confidence in their relationship. You know, I'm not sure that everybody's embracing what I'm saying here, because we've just accepted things and it's so prevalent that we look around and see that everybody's like this and think we're okay. But the Scripture, like if you were to go back to chapter 10, verse 2, and again, I'm going to cover this in more detail, so I'll just mention this. I'm setting everything up tonight. Amen. This is really conditional on everything I'm going to say the rest of the week. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, it says that if those sacrifices that could have been that were offered year by year could have made the comers thereunto perfect, wouldn't they have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers once purged means not purged a million times every time you mess up, but once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. Now the Old Testament sacrifices couldn't work because they were only types and shadows. But the New Testament sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for us did work, so that once purged, here's the way that New Testament Christians should be living. We should have no more sin consciousness. I don't know if you can embrace what I'm saying, but this is rare as hen's teeth. There aren't very many Christians that experience no condemnation and have total freedom from sin consciousness. There's very few people that experience that, and there's even less people that believe that it's even a goal. Most people are actually taught that going around feeling sinful and feeling unworthy and bearing about that, "Oh God, I've failed you so bad," and having an unworthy consciousness is actually a positive thing, is the way that religion is teaching it. We will sing songs like, you know, "Such a Sorry Sinner," and we'll sing about how bad we are. Matter of fact, one of the reasons I love Charlie and Jill's praise and worship, and I'm so excited about them being a part of our Bible college to teach people these things, is that I don't know if you've noticed, but when they sing about how good God is. They are worshiping God for His goodness and praising Him for what's done. They do not come out with, "Oh God, we're so sorry," and, "Oh God, I feel so bad today," and, "God, I believe that you're using these things to teach me something." Most of what's called Christian music today is nothing but griping and complaining in the name of the Lord. It is not edifying and building up. And we've been taught this. We've been taught that it somehow or another feeling bad about ourselves is good. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Y'all are looking like, who would ever think that? You know, if I could go home with you, and if I could watch you and listen to your prayers, I can guarantee you the vast majority of us go about with a sin consciousness, an unworthy consciousness, just constantly feeling like, "Oh God, we don't deserve anything." Well, by yourself, you don't deserve anything. I'd agree with that. But you aren't by yourself. Amen. You got born again. And if you've been born again, you are a brand new creature. And the Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 24, that God is a spirit, And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What is worshiping God in spirit? Well, again, religion has twisted this and so that we say that being in spirit is where, man, you're running and jumping and you're feeling a goosebump and you're going through some form. You know, the liturgical churches will be, it's when you're real quiet and still and there's a great choir or something. And Pentecostal churches, it's all about feeling something and everybody has their own different interpretation. Worshiping in spirit is talking about that when you got born again, your spirit got born again. You became a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things passed away, all things became new. Verse 18, and all things are of God. In your spirit, when you got born again, you became a totally, totally brand new creation that was created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4:24. 1 John 4:17, you are identical to Jesus in your spirit. And God is a spirit, and God is worshiping. To worship Him, you have to contact Him, relate to Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So when a person is saying, but oh, I'm so unworthy, you either aren't born again, or if you're born again, you're in the flesh and not in the spirit. You aren't worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. You're coming before Him based on what you've been doing and on how holy you've been. Yeah. Yeah. And I guarantee you, there's a large number of people right here in this room. And I'm not ragging on you. I believe you're wonderful for being out here on a Thursday night listening to a hick from Texas. You are the cream of the crop, amen. And yet, I believe that God didn't lay this on my heart to say to all of the people who didn't come, this is for you, amen. There's a lot of you right here that in your set you are feeling like, but oh God, I haven't been studying. I haven't prayed. I made this promise to you. I failed in that. I had a fight with my wife on the way to the meeting tonight. I've done this and I've done that. And oh God, how could you love me? You aren't worshiping God in spirit. You're worshiping God in the flesh based on your action. Because if you were born again in your spirit, you are identical to Jesus. 1 John 4:17, as He is, so are we in this world.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK152 titled Enter Boldly when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'm going to receive a lot of criticism for the things that I've taught on today's program, but I know that there's a lot of people that are also being set free by this truth. And you know, there's many things that we can offer you, but I'd like to offer our website to you as a resource where you can get over 300 teachings downloaded free on MP3 format, 8 years worth of television, 10 years worth of radio. There's a lot of great things, but also if you go on and sign our guest book on our website, well, I'd love to hear some positive comments. If you're receiving from this, you know, I read those on a regular basis. So I encourage you to visit us and leave a message on our website today.